Live from the heart of the universe, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. We have tonight's guest, acclaimed filmmaker of The Face of the Faceless, Dr. Shaisen P. Ausef.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Asa Anderson. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Our Life Changes Show team family came upon a little conundrum in the past couple days, and when it eventually got resolved in a most unusual and wonderful and surprisingly happy way, maybe not surprisingly, I said, God works in mysterious ways. And because I said that just this morning or a few hours ago, and because I was getting ready for the show today, I thought, where does that phrase actually come from? And whether or not it comes from him, I looked it up. It's attributed to him, an English poet, William Cowper, who wrote a poem in 1773. It was then used as a hymn in 1774. The poem was titled Light Shining Out of Darkness. But then when it was turned into a hymn, a Christian hymn, it was turned into, the title was the first sentence of the poem, God Moves in Mysterious Way. And so what was it that led to me saying this? I want to say, I got an invitation to go to the screening of The Face of the Faceless for this coming Wednesday. And immediately I shared it with a few people saying that I was interested in this and wanted to see if anybody wanted to go with me. I thought, oh, the director would be great to interview, but we don't have any shows because we're booked for the time being for a bunch of shows ahead of now. So I then got a second invitation from another completely different organization with which I have an association. And I thought, I really wish we could interview the director. And I shared it with our executive producers. And I said, this would make a great interview. But it ended there because this show was not only booked, it was kind of booked three times with a couple of other people wanting this particular date for particular reasons. So we weren't able to entertain even the possibility of having the director of The Face of the Faceless on this show. In 882 episodes of The Life Changes Show, this particular thing I don't think has ever happened, or at least not in this way, where the booked guest for this show ended up not being able to do it and wanting to postpone. So we went to the second person who had asked specifically for this date. She booked it, and then the next day proceeded to say she couldn't do it after all. Could she have a future date? The third person said yes. Thank you, until this morning when she said, could she have a particular other date because she couldn't do it today? And so here we are. And my thought went, the director of The Face of the Faceless. So I called the head of one of the organizations that had written me, and she didn't answer the phone. And I thought, what are the chances? We only have a few more hours to the show that she's going to get the message. She's going to call me back, et cetera, et cetera, that the director's even available. So I went for a sure thing. One of the publicists we love and we work with often and always brings us great people had somebody that we wanted, and I called and I said, can we have this person tonight as our guest? And she got back to me a couple hours later saying, I'm sorry, I have not been able to reach that guest, but, and I'm getting chills, might you be interested in, I think if he can change his schedule, he'd be perfect for your show. And it was the director of The Face of the Faceless. And I froze when I saw that, and I saw, And I said, God works in mysterious ways. This was an interview that was supposed to happen. Now, I want to get into the interview right away, but I have to. I don't want to leave this poem unsaid, since it struck me when I looked it up, by William Cowper. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye see so much dread are big in mercy and shall break, are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purpose will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God in his own interpreter is, God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Interestingly enough, this was the last poem that William wrote. It actually was written after his attempted suicide. Thankfully, our situation was not nearly as dramatic, but I have to say, God does move in a mysterious way.
But wait, there's more. Because we then later learned that the screening, which you had received, is in part hosted by our dear friends and partners from UprisingTogether.love.
Right.
Ed Lance from Vortex Immersion, and Josie Kelly, who work with Toddie Blackstone, and this wonderful community. And Ed pinged me and said, hey, you're going to have the director that we're featuring and screening on Wednesday on the show.
And I hadn't gotten it from that organization.
That was my point. It was 0 degrees of separation from the six-pointed star.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And so we are blessed both to have our guest and our performance guest with us. We've titled this episode Exploring the Value of Mercy, Love, Sacrifice, and Forgiveness. We are featuring, happily, an internationally acclaimed filmmaker of the award-winning film, The Face of the Faceless. He's recognized internationally for social impact storytelling. He is Dr. Shaisun P. Oisef. Please welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us, Dr. Shaisun.
Thank you. Life Changes Show with Filippo and Anderson and your team for this great opportunity to speak on your radio. I consider it's a blessing to be with you all. As Filippo has mentioned, God moves mysterious way.
Indeed, and I'm anxious to know how God moved you to be the story, to eventually tell this story and the other aspects that we will talk about. But where did you start in this process as to what you thought you were going to do from early on?
All right. So if you ask me what motivated, of course, the life of Sister Rani Maria itself has motivated me to do this unbelievable story on forgiveness. So almost 7 years back, when I came across this story, the story of Blessed Rani Maria and the forgiveness part of it. Okay, let me explain to you why forgiveness, because The Face of the Faceless is a biopic-centered feature film on the remarkable journey of Blessed Rani Maria. So you may ask, who is Blessed Rani Maria? She's a Catholic nun who devoted her life to the service in India. And this nun has been killed for the outstanding works that she has done for the oppressed people in India. So Rani Maria was murdered in a knife attack, and her assassin was sentenced to prison. And Sister Rani Maria's mother kissed the hands of her daughter's assassin as a sign of forgiveness and accepted him as one of them. And this is the story inspired me to make a feature film.
It's a story within a story within a greater story, and a story of humanity. And unfortunately, actually, a story that is being repeated probably daily throughout the world. And so thank you for bringing focus to this. On one hand, we hope it's being repeated in the sense that the good works that Sister Rani Maria did, that there are lots of people doing good works. And what is unfortunate is there are lots of people also being stopped in tragic ways. So let's talk about that. What kind of works was she doing, and why was she a threat?
So she was basically empowering and educating the oppressed tribal people at the center part of India. So she started schools to teach the uneducated kids of the tribal people. And she also gathered the farmers and started giving them the seeds, so that the farmers could go directly and start cultivating rather than getting the seeds on a higher price from the landlords or from the rich people. So this has created a kind of uneasiness among the landlords, the rich people. So they decided to finish her. They hired someone and gave him 10,000 Indian money, which is hardly 100 US dollar, and a
Wow.
bottle of alcohol
Wow.
in order to finish this nun.
Wow. And he did.
Yes, he did. Then he was caught by the system, by the police, and he was behind the bars for 7 years. And once that the time was over, when he came out of the prison, it was only Sister Rani Maria's mother who was waiting there to receive him. And she kissed the hands of this man and said, "Let me kiss the hands that has got my daughter's blood." And embraced him and accepted him as one in the family.
And did he change? Did he repent?
He repented and he started doing what Sister Rani Maria was doing in her life.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing. I have not seen the film yet, obviously. So I don't know how much of this is all in the film.
Yes, all in the film.
Okay. This is fascinating. So what I know is not in the film, is that, first of all, you said Blessed Sister Rani Maria. So could you explain what that means and what that could mean at some point soon,
Right.
maybe?
Right. For Christians, if you do good works according to the scriptures, then you will become a saint. And in order to become saint, there are several steps. several preparations by the Catholic Church. Now she has gone to the second stage, which is blessed, and the last third stage is a saintlyhood, and she becomes a saint, for which we requires, or the Christians requires, miracles officially recognized by the Rome or Vatican. So we are waiting for the third and the last miracle.
So for people who don't know, that someone would pray to her and then a miracle, if a miracle happens that's attributed to praying to her, then that counts as a miracle towards her sainthood. And so when you say you're waiting for the third miracle, that there to be approved, it already has happened, or?
It has already happened. And wow. I think the congregation, which is known as the Franciscan Clarist Congregation, one of the congregations in the Catholic Church where she belongs, they have already sent this particular miracle to Vatican. And so they have to the Vatican judiciary or the group of priests, they have to recognize, then she will be a saint.
Well, okay. So you have been telling impactful social interest stories and in film, actually, for many years. So you were drawn to this. And was this the impetus to start your own company with the producers?
Yes. So when I thought of making this film, the first thought came to me to make a documentary film, because I have been making documentaries across the world in more than 25 countries. So I thought I should make a documentary. But when I started working on it and going deep, meeting people with whom Sister Rani Maria worked and interviewing, including the killer, I understood this matter is not just for a documentary, it has to be a feature film. So I decided to make a feature film, but as you know, it costs a lot. And I had not that kind of resources. So I started approaching various production companies. They all said, the story is wonderful. Please go ahead and all the best. So they don't want to invest in this particular film, maybe because of the religious matters, maybe because of the political issues in India. So no production house wants to take it up. So we decided to set up, we in the sense, along with my dean, I'm teaching in one of the colleges in India, which is called as the St. Xavier's College in Mumbai. Being associate dean, I consulted with my dean and the principal of the college, and we three of them decided to set up a production house outside the college, which is called the Trilight Creations. And through Trilight Creations, we started this film. Again, we had lots of lack of resources, and that was a time my dean and myself decided to mortgage whatever possible things that we have, including our land, our houses, and with those mortgaged money, we completed the film.
Wow. God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And so, the story, I talk about story within a story within a story. Your story is the story within here. And you said that you met the killer. Is the killer in the movie?
No, we couldn't make him to act in the movie because of certain political and social reasons.
Sure.
Right now, which is in India.
Sure, so, because somebody did hire him. And what happened to those people?
Oh, that's a good question. Nothing happened to him. Not even the police questioned him. And it was only the killer who went to jail.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. So, what did the killer say to you? Did anything?
He was in need of money. To make it very short, those days he was struggling even for his livelihood. And it was a time, a kind of a bite that is put in front of him by this landlord. So he accepted it. And he was given a suggestion, direction, saying that in a bus, there will be a nun with a habit. Go and kill her. That's it. And he did it as he was directed.
Wow. And the bottle of alcohol, was that to get him drunk in order to do it? Or that was just as a gift?
It's more of like a gift.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Mind boggling. All right. So I don't want to give too much away. I know the film hopefully soon will be available for people to see on one of the networks, correct?
Yes. We are trying to put it on one of the platforms.
Yes.
Since it's a movie, it's already in dubbed into 7 languages. So,
congratulations.
Official screening of the Spanish version would be held on 1st of March in Spain.
I said congratulations, but there's more to that. Tell us just a couple of the big awards that of the 125 so far? Recognition.
All right. The first and foremost, of course, we were qualified for the Oscar. That itself we consider as a recognition.
Yeah.
Then it's considered to be one of the best Christian film of the year, 2024, which has won the Golden Award. Of course, back in India and many other countries, the film has won several awards. And it's been screened in Vatican for bishops, cardinals, and those people. And the film has run more than 6 weeks in around 150 theaters down southern part of India. Still, it's running in theaters.
Wow. And what kind of audiences do you have? Are they mainly Catholic or are they Christian? And what are they saying? And what does it mean to them?
They say that, you know, most of them, they say that they haven't seen a film like this in their life. I'm not just exaggerating. They say that they haven't seen a film like this because in India, we make the most number of films. And it's all commercial ones.
Bollywood, yeah.
Bollywood, exactly. So which means so many dances, and a lot of masala or spices in it. So in those category films, here comes something different. And that's what the reason why people started embracing it. So wherever we have screened in India, I think there are a lot of takers for this film. And people still cherish, they call me, they call the producer, they call entire team and say that, can we screen it again?
Mm.
That is the story which is happening enough.
What does it mean to them?
For them, the forgiveness part and how she has tried to empower the downtrodden. And being a nun, a young woman coming from south, going to the almost center part of India, where the language is different, the culture is different, where the caste system is very prominent, the downcast people or downtrodden people, they cannot even drink or collect water from the upper caste well or the pipe. So there, she fought against it. She fought for the rights of the farmers, Farmers were literally butchered. They were being killed. There is a particular scene in the film where a farmer, a young farmer, is put just in front of the tractor and has been killed. So while screening for the Oscar, people asked me a question: is this still happening in India? I said, yes. These incidents happened in 1995 or before in the story of Blessed Sister Rani Maria. But I can vouch for you this, these kind of incidents are still happening. So the gentleman who asked me while screening for the Oscar, I told him, sir, you have the Google, the internet with you. Why don't you search and just look for a young man who has been put in front of a tractor and has been killed in a state called Rajasthan just 6 months back. Let's not go for a year or 10 years or 5 years. Just 6 months back. And he did that and he saw it. He said, yes, now I believe.
Wow. Wow. So if there is anything that there are so many aspects, like we said in the title, exploring the value of mercy, love, sacrifice, and forgiveness, of which this film obviously exemplifies and shows all of those aspects, to the point of martyrdom, right? Sister
Yes.
Ronnie w was a
Maria.
martyr, right? But you focus on forgiveness most of all. Tell us why, and why in this time it's even more important.
See, my attempt through this film was to depict the immortal life of this great leader through the life-inspiring incidents and the struggle, and at the end, the victorious leading to her sacrifice. And I believe this story, this tale, depicts the trials and tribulations of this particular nun who rose above her boundaries of religion and realized the universal oneness. And today, as I speak to you, the whole world is looking for forgiveness. If I can forgive you, or if you can forgive the person who has done something against you, I think there is peace. There is a peace. And that exactly the peace the world is looking for. Imagine the countries, between the countries, between the people, between the states. If you can just accept and say that, I forgive you. And that's what exactly I have learned in my life, or I have heard in my life, that even on the cross, hope you, I think you might have also read, even on the cross, Jesus said, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. I think we need to have that kind of ability, courage, strength to forgive others. And that goes back even to the mother of Blessed Sister Rani Maria.
So you say the whole world is looking for, and I would like to believe that is indeed what the whole world is looking for. I don't know personally that the world is looking, but I can say the world is needing for
Yeah.
sure. For
So
sure.
I agree with you because I'm not an English man, and the English is an acquired language for me. So therefore, sometimes the words which I use may not be the right one. Kindly excuse me for that,
No,
but I can
and
understand.
excuse me, I was not correcting you. I believe that deep down inside we are looking. We are looking. And
Thank you.
so I thought it was very well placed, and I wanted to share that. My hope is that is the case indeed, but whether we're looking or not, it is what we're needing. And deep down inside, like the poem, the hymn that I read at the beginning, is like, no matter how deep the cave or whatever it is, God can find a way even there. So if our want or desire or even need for forgiveness is very, very deep, it could still, we have an example, and you have brought it forth so beautifully in the movie, is potentially the biggest forgiveness of all, that someone took a mother's child and the mother was able to forgive.
Yes, Filippo, it is unbelievable that a woman could do so much for her fellow human beings. You know, we have examples like Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, and so many. And I was moved by her story. And I always believe that forgiveness is a crucial component of anyone's journey towards healing. We all talk about healing. And this is very prominent in the life of Sister Annie Maria.
So there's much to learn from her story, the story of the villagers, the story of maybe even the killer. In certain circumstances, though not as dramatically, at times we are in a sense, each of those positions. And so to be able to see the other side, as we say, walk a mile in another person's moccasins, and understand what that looks like. So from all the learnings, are people walking away with what your intent was for the film?
I didn't get you your question. Sorry for that. Could you repeat?
So you had intentions for the film, and as people are experiencing it, are they walking away from having seen the film with the intentions you put in it, or are there others that maybe are a surprise to you that they saw in the film or the stories?
Very much. You know, let me share one experience that I had while screening in one of the cities in India. After screening the film, a gentleman came to me along with his wife and said, "We have been fighting in our life almost every day for silly things. But when I see this film, I think the way that the universe has given to us, the life, the money, everything around us, I think we need to respect and live with a kind of heart for others." And he said, from today onwards, we decided that we'll work just like how the Sister Annie Maria worked for the downtrodden. And there was another old man, one who came, he must be in his 90s, who came and watched the movie. He said, "I have watched only two movies in life."
Yeah.
"Two movies in my life, of course," he said. Then he said, "This is my second film. And why did I watch? Because I heard this movie is all about forgiveness. And I couldn't forgive to my own people. So this movie taught me how I need to be changed at this age." I think these are the better awards that I have received than I would consider.
May you also be rewarded, beautifully said, may you also be rewarded financially also, so that you could make more. I would imagine, besides getting this film still out there more, I know you want to reach more people and share it with more people in countries and languages, that I imagine you have lots of human interest stories you want to share.
Yes, I do have stories. People always ask me, when is your next movie is coming up? So I always tell them that if you ask a mother, when is the next baby is coming? She would laugh and say that, give me some time, man. Like sadly, and nobody knows how painful it's to give this kind of stories a kind of life. We have gone through the hell of time. I mean, hell of
Yes.
experiences. So first and foremost, the lack of resources. The second, I want to make sure that every artist who worked in the film could have to get a clear understanding of what we meant to say to the audience. So therefore, 2 weeks we had the workshops or just to read out the story to
Wow.
understand each characters in the film.
Wow.
Then after making them, we call it table reading, but much more than that, we took them to the place where Sister Annie Maria worked, lived, so
Well,
that they could feel what exactly she has been doing it. Similarly, the music director had to go to the villages and get the true sound and the true noise to capture so that the film will have the authenticity. We recreated the set because this whole incident happened before 1995 when we had not much electricity in those villages and no what do you call the signal post. Now today if you keep a camera you find everything in it. So we had to literally create the long, long sets where you don't have all this kind of hindrances to get the images of 1995. And everyone
wow.
is walking with a mobile phone. Everyone is walking with jeans and shoes. So to avoid all these things and get a clear clarity on the costumes and technicalities of it, our team did a great work that if you happen to see the film, you will know that what I'm talking about.
I look forward to it and potentially getting to meet you. The face of the faceless.com is the website. It's on Instagram also, face of the faceless, the face of the faceless. And on Facebook, it's is it FOTF film, face of the faceless movie, FOTF movie. And it interesting as we're bringing our conversation sadly to a close for this time around. Dr. Shison, it's interesting you say in 1995 there was no electricity in the village, and now people are walking around with cell phones and jeans and tennis shoes. That's not a long time.
Yes, you're right. You're right. It's not a long time. It's almost 30 years. The 30 years long journey have changed the face of India a lot.
Wow.
A lot. And especially in the villages. Especially in the villages. So to capture that 1995 or before 1995, recreation of sets, recreation of people, recreation of everything, we had to do it.
Well, the city has changed, but unfortunately, the attitudes and the experiences that you described, some of those have not changed. And
I
so they
agree with you. I agree with you.
so thank you for bringing awareness to this and sacrificing in order to bring this story forward and continuing to do so. More power to you and the producers. I mean, wow, what a labor of love. Like you're on a mission, like her, like Sister Rani Maria, you're on a mission.
You're right. Life changes. That's sadly, life changes with this story. And today, I think it's going to life changes with Filippo, you, for this opportunity to speak on your radio and hope to spread this message, the message of forgiveness through you and you are being instrument. Thank you. Great.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Scheisen. And also may the industry recognize and learn from what you have done here in India and throughout the world, the workshop and the intention and the care and the love that you put in it, and also the deeply meaningful type of film that can come through from humanity like yourselves and for humanity like ourselves and the rest of the world. So thank you for being that push for this next wave.
Thank you. Thank you to the listeners.
Again, the face of the faceless.com is the website, and we've been listening to Dr. Scheisen P. Oshef, who is the film director, internationally award-winning film director.
Truly inspiring. The world needs many, many more social impact storytellers.
That can tell on this level.
That's exactly. That not only can tell on this level, but that have the consciousness and the empathy to really relay the story in such an impactful way.
And then to find also like we said that's a lot to cover, mercy, or love, or sacrifice.
Well,
and forgiveness.
Look around the world. There's not a lot of people that have figured it out yet.
No.
Unfortunately. More and more, thank gosh, you know, thanks to projects like this and people like Dr. Scheisen.
Indeed.
But we need more.
Indeed. Looking forward to this, not only seeing the film, but also this being available for more people to see. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Henry, and our friend just died today, and I'm totally devastated and lost and confused. Daniel was like a brother to me. Even though we had only met 30 years ago, he had no family. When I asked the coroner if I could receive his ashes after they cremated him, I was told no because I'm not a relative. They didn't care that he had no one else and said they would dispose of the ashes. I'm devastated and want to give him a proper goodbye. Dorothy, he said that you have been a spiritual advisor for years, and he shared with me lots of amazing guidance you gave him. So can you please help me figure out how to find peace with my loss?
Dearest Henry, I share your sadness over our precious friend, Daniel, leaving us. When someone has been woven into your life for 30 or 40 years, they're not just a friend. They're a part of our nervous system, our history, our inner dialogue. And of course, we feel devastated and lost. That's not weakness, that's love. So the first thing we want to do is get clear about the ashes. What the coroner said is about policy, not about love. Bureaucracy cannot measure spiritual kinship. He is your brother in spirit. And let's remember this. Daniel is not in those ashes. His body was the house he lived in. The love, the conversations, the laughter, the growth, that is not combustible. You wanting to give him a proper goodbye tells me everything about the depth of your heart. And since we may not receive his remains, let's create something that no one can take from us. We can get together and create a personal farewell ritual and make it a celebration of his life. We could do this with just the two of us, or you can invite anyone who knew him. It would also be helpful for us to write letters to him. His body is no longer here, but his soul is very present. In our letters, we can thank him for specific memories. We can say how much he means to us. We can even say the goodbye we didn't get to say. The psyche needs ceremony. Ritual gives grief some place to go. And we can claim a place as his memorial. We can choose that tree that he liked, and we can declare it Daniel's place. We can sit there and read our letters to him. After reading our letters, we can either keep the letters, burn them, or bury them under the tree. Ashes are symbolic. Presence is real. And, dear Henry, now that you know you're no longer alone in your grief, we are now connected, and I'm here for you always. I cannot fully express the gratitude I have for you and all of the love and care you gave our beloved Daniel. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being such an awesome friend to him. Let's do the ceremony, and we can stay in touch, and I trust that we will talk often.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
For our performance segment, we have an LA-based singer, songwriter, and guitarist, and so much more, actually. I was going to say poet, so let me just run that by you in a little bit. So here is Asa Anderson. Welcome, Asa, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you. What an honor to be part of this program. It's like already been so emotionally rich, and such a beautiful talk that Dr. Chasson gave.
Thank you. Agreed. And it's great to have you. We are honored to have you because you represent a whole other experience that we're going to get into. And we also want to thank Colin Martin, who's our contributing segment producer, for introducing you to us. Of course, a dear friend to all of us.
Yeah, Colin's great. He actually produced quite a few of the songs that I'll be releasing in the coming months.
And we're going to get to hear two of those. Did he produce both?
The first one he did, and the second one I produced. He's a part of 90% of it.
Okay. All right. Well, so you saw me. I was going to throw in poetry. I don't know. The poems, just rarely do poems make it to the Life Changes Show, but it started with the poem today. And your bio is a poem. I mean, obviously your songs, but the way you wrote your bio. So tell us about poetry. We didn't talk about that, you and I. Tell me about poetry.
Well, you know, I am deeply moved by creative expression, and I'm really glad that you picked up on some of the themes in the bio. I think that probably the best thing to direct people to read it is my website, but we can get to that later. So,
well, no, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So it's asaandersonmusic.com. You can see it's probably one of the first things up there and kind of encapsulates my intention for what I'd like my art to do with for people, and also my deep reverence and respect for nature. And I like to... You know, I think that the best art comes from just kind of stepping aside and letting it do its own thing. I've kind of learned that we're just, you know, I'm not the owner of it. You're just more of a transmitter, and you just hopefully get into the right, your antenna into the right position for inspiration to come through. So I'm really glad that it resonated with you.
Indeed. And just to make sure people don't know, Asa Anderson Music, Asa is A-S-A. So before we get to hear one of those songs, you were describing to me, and I was watching you while you were telling me in my mind's eye, because I've had the experience of walking as a young child through the forest, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Were you by yourself at times?
Yeah, at times for sure. I got to spend a lot of the formative years in the Napa Valley on a vineyard, and really close to hiking trail and nature. And I was kind of like, I guess the term they use these days is like free range kid, you know, just kind of left to my own devices. And I think that really left a deep impression on me, and just being listening to watching seasons change, and being so close to beautiful, expansive hikes has really, like, I think, given me a lot more perspective, like, just as an adult. So I'm really grateful for that sort of ability to be in that environment.
Agreed. And I, if I had a child now that was under seven, I can't imagine allowing them by themselves anywhere near a forest.
Right.
But I am so glad I had that experience. I can't imagine not. And so what have we done to humanity that, that's not possible?
Yeah.
And actually, what have we done to humanity? You speak for the mountains and the oceans and the earth and the prairies. Tell us how you feel that the language of all of that comes through you, and what does it want to say?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing that I've learned is how the cycles of nature and the change of seasons teach us that it's okay to have rest periods, and it's okay to have times where you're creatively maybe on a plateau. And I think that we're so conditioned, at least like these days, just to constantly produce, constantly be posting. And, you know, the rhythms of nature kind of, I think, teach us that it's, you know, things kind of come and go in waves and nothing's permanent. I think that also just really presencing the specialness of every moment, and also understanding that like those maybe periods where you're resting are equally valuable as the periods where things are blossoming, and, you know, we're in maybe a spring or summer type of energy where it's like outward momentum. And I just think that I also found out through just like walking in nature, I regulate my nervous system that way. And there's just something about how structured and organized and intelligently, beautifully crafted everything is in nature. And it doesn't try, it just is.
It's a bit odd that what you're describing sounds so novel when it would seem like it's part of being human.
Totally. Well, you know what's funny is sometimes we get there through the contrast. Like I think spending a lot of time in LA and chasing music and getting caught up in comparison and doing all the things that I did have like that contrast is like the other end of the road brand that kind of snapped me to where I like to write from here. And I think that, yeah, we are sort of seeing more of a return to these, just being more in touch with nature. And yeah, I'd like to think that things are moving in the right direction.
You know, speaking of getting caught in comparisons, very well said, actually. And well placed to especially being in LA, and you say, oh, that's a nicer car than I have. That's a nicer place than I have. And then we listen to a show like this, and we have Dr. Shaisun on, and we have Asa Anderson on, and all of a sudden it's like, what was I thinking? Until tomorrow morning. But in the meantime,
thank you. I'm so honored. And I think that you're also a very good interviewer and very eloquent. So you're doing an amazing job as well.
Thank you, Asa. And with that, let's hear your amazing song. Tell us about Help Me Breathe. Anything we want to share?
I think, you know, the idea here is just to, there's a line in the song that says, lover, please be like a tree and help me breathe. So kind of tying into our whole conversation that we had.
Okay. Well, here is Asa Anderson's pre-recorded song played here on the
produced Life by Colin Martin.
Produced by Colin Martin, played here on the Life Changes show. Help Me Breathe. Asa Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you.
Asa Anderson. That's S-O-N, music.com. And of course, he's on Instagram as what is it? I Plays?
It's EY Plays. So E as in Edward, Y as in yellow, Plays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clever, I guess. What does that mean?
There's a whole story that I wish I had more time for.
Okay. Well, actually, there is a story I want to know, and I'm so glad you are on the show. I've had a lump in my throat throughout the whole show. I mean, with like practically tears in my eyes at points. So I want to bring a little levity here for all of us. And you are the only person I have ever known of that took we called them tonettes. What were they called? The hand flutes, or what were those things called in school?
Oh, right. Like slide whistles?
Well, no, not the slide whistle. The ones you got in school, like in sixth grade.
Oh, the recorder.
The recorder.
Yeah.
Took the recorder and you took it home and you did what with it?
I started learning songs from the radio. So I was off to the races. I was just like, I found out that I could do that. And I just, that's when I was like, okay, you're a musician. Let's get you into band. start your lessons.
Did you try and share it with other people? Like, look what I can do on this thing?
Yeah, I had a couple enthusiastic teachers and friends. And I know that it was kind of an extension of the choir class. I was there initially to sing, and then one day they passed out these recorders, and then little did I know that would be like the gateway drug into the
into later studying jazz, right? Yeah. Where?
Yeah, at USC. I was part of the Flora L. Thornton School of Music, and
yeah, which is not easy to get into.
No, it's not. It's not. I had a. You know, my dad actually is a writer, and he really encouraged me to, if you're going to study something, just really be something that you're passionate about. And I was, with his encouragement, I was able to you know, get the support that I needed to make that happen.
But just to be clear, in case people are wondering, you didn't audition with the recorder.
You went on
to play other things, right?
I did. Yeah. I played drums, bass, saxophone, pretty much any instrument I could get my hands on. So yeah, it's, I have been playing mostly guitar lately, just from a songwriting perspective, but there's, my dream is to eventually just have a dedicated music like room in my house where it's just instruments from all over the world. And I can just, you know, get together with friends and play them.
World music. I like that.
And yeah.
Well, more power to you. And thank you for bringing the music. We actually, as we're drawing our show episode to a close, we get the pleasure of premiering, world premiere, a song.
Tell us about this. All right. This is actually the second single that I'm releasing. It's called Energy Vampires. It's about reclaiming sovereignty and sort of identifying and distancing those people who are just so draining and toxic. And it's funny. My drummer has said, you know, you created a really upbeat song about a dark topic. And I was like, I love when that happens in music.
Okay. And it happened. It happened to you.
Right. Exactly.
Actually, speaking of it happened to you, I've heard the song. It's got to be from, you have to have had experience.
For sure. For sure.
So hopefully it's helped you and we could all enjoy it and be helped by it. Sure.
It's out March 13th. I'm excited, and I'll be announcing it on my social media and my website and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you for sharing it here with us first here on the Life Changes Show.
World this is actually premiere. Very significant for sure.
It is. This is Asa Anderson's pre-recorded song, not out yet, Energy Vampires, here on the Life Changes Show.
day, and I feel in my soul so clear. Entirely aware who I led in my atmosphere. I see that there's a problem, and I am gonna solve it. Self-worth and my sovereignty. Now I walk away when I feel someone's draining me. I see that they will siphon my energy and my time. They'll trick you, then they'll rob you.
That's going to stick in my head the rest of the night.
Yes, that's the idea. Mission accomplished.
Asa Anderson, you know, I know that your music has been featured on NBC, ABC, Hallmark Channel, and I thought I could hear that on one of those shows. I could totally hear that. So
sure.
I hope you're going to submit that to them too.
Absolutely.
Well, all the best to you. Again, Asa is A-S-A Anderson with an S-O-N at the end, asaandersonmusic.com. And you can find it, find him at E-Y-P-L-A-S, EY Plays, yes. Which hopefully we can get that story another time on Instagram. Find him at EY Plays or post it somewhere. Now you got me thinking.
There you go.
Write a blog. Yes, write a song. Write a song. Asa, what a pleasure.
This has been really great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you, Asa. With a big thank you to Asa Anderson and all the best to him. And another big thank you to Dr. Shaisen P. Osef. And a big thank you to him and all the people involved in his film, and wishing him in the film the best, that more people get to see it and all that. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, and our whole family here at the Life Changes Show, on behalf of all of us, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.